I love His Spirit. I love His joy. And He's God's man. And the Lord's used him all over this country. You pray for him as he comes to preach to us. I love you, brother. Amen.
I love you. Thank you. It is a joy for me to be here. I appreciate Brother Steve. What a tremendous friend he is to preachers. And he'll never know this side of heaven, what he's meant to me. Many nights, late at night on the road headed in from a meeting, my phone will ring. And it'll be Brother Steve Dagenhart, and he's on the road himself. And my, those late night calls mean so much. This is the first time I've been back to Taylorsville since the pandemic hit. And my, it seems like that's been forever. And we've been through a whole lot in that time period. Back in the first of that thing, when everybody was doing drive-in services. And they asked me to do a drive-in revival over in Southwest Virginia. And I said, well, I'll do it. A couple of churches came together. Parking lot was packed that night. The only problem was I was standing on the front porch of the church, and it was about 39 degrees that night. And the wind was blowing right across the front porch. And so the windshield was way below freezing that night. And I stood there and preached with my overcoat on. And I said, it was almost as cold as some Baptist churches I've been in. Almost. But anyway, and when you was preaching in those services, you didn't know if there's, you knew there had to be people there that had needs, because I saw several Chevrolets in the parking lot. I just throw that out there early. Them Chevy guys, they're like snowflakes. They're triggered easily, and they won't get another thing I've said. They won't hear another thing. They'll make a beeline right after the service to talk to me about them Chevrolets, and I just do it to aggravate them, amen. But anyway, it is a joy for me to be here, and I trust the Lord will help us. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter number 1, and I'm going to read a few verses in each chapter of Habakkuk, three little chapters in this book. Habakkuk chapter number 1, and I want to begin reading in verse number 1. And then I'll skip to chapter 2 and then to chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter number 1. If you're able to stand with us tonight, stand as we read the Word of God. Habakkuk chapter number 1. And when you study the book of Habakkuk, the main theme of this book is the mysteries of God's providence, or the waiting for God's purposes to be fulfilled. One of the hardest things you'll ever do as a child of God is to wait on God to work in His time in situations that you're facing in your life. And here in chapter number 1, the Bible says this, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? And notice that exclamation mark there. Even cry unto thee out of violence, and thou wilt not save. Habakkuk is viewing the land in that day. He is viewing the error of God's people, and he's begging God. Have you ever felt like Habakkuk in this verse? Oh, Lord, how long am I going to cry out? God, how long before you're going to do something about all this that I can't do anything about? And many times we felt that way. Chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Habakkuk says this. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. And I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I want you to notice what he says there. Amen. He said, I'm going to, in chapter number 1, he is wearied by everything he sees. He's worn out, he's praying, he's asking God, and you find in chapter 1 that God begins to reveal to him that he is going to bring judgment against his own people at the hands of the Chaldeans. And now here in chapter number 2, he said, I'm going to stand upon my watch and set me in the tower. He said, I want to see what he's going to say to me. Everybody in our day is willing to listen to what God has to say. But you see, the problem is, he said, and then what I'm going to answer him when I'm reproved. When God speaks, he expects a response from us. Chapter number 3 in verse number 1. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me for just a few moments. Enable me in this place, God, that I might bring the message that you'd have us to hear. Thank you for the good singing tonight, Lord, and all the good fellowship we've already had. And I pray you'd continue to bless now in the service tonight. And God, we'll give you praise for what you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I've already stated tonight, in chapter number 1, we find the burden of Habakkuk. And we find that Habakkuk has been praying, asking God. He is wearied by all the circumstances that are surrounding him. I feel today probably all of us could say we've been that way in the last 3 years. There's been a lot of things we didn't have any control over. There's things that no doubt has wearied your mind. Pastors I know have been discouraged by all that we've been through. We didn't have all the answers. We didn't even know all the questions. And the fact of the matter is, it has worn people down, it seems like, in the day that we live. And Habakkuk was much like that. He said, I'm wearied by it. But then we see a determination in chapter number 2. He says, I will stand upon my watch. I want you to notice that. It is a personal watch. He didn't say, I'm going to stand on somebody else's watch. You see, you have a responsibility as a child of God for your watch. And the Bible said that he said, I will stand upon my watch. Then he uses an interesting terminology. He says, and I will set me in the tower. When you study in Bible days, the tower was a place of importance. Matter of fact, many times on the walled cities, they would have a tower there. And there would be guards that would watch in the tower. They would be looking for an advancing enemy. They said even in the days, in the Bible days, many times those who owned vast vineyards would build a tower in the midst of it. And the owner could climb up in the tower. He could oversee his workers. And he could also see if animals were destroying the crops. So the tower was a place of importance in the Bible days. The tower represented strength. Strength, visibility, and protection. And here Habakkuk is. He says, I'm wearied by what I see. But he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. There's a place I can go to. There's a tower I can climb up into. And I'll watch and wait to see what God is going to say. And then chapter 3, we find Habakkuk wishing. He knows that God has said he's going to bring judgment. He knows that things are bad and bleak and it seems like there's nothing he can do to help it. But then in chapter 3, he asks God to do something. It's a prayer of Habakkuk. And he said, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Amen. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Yeah. Habakkuk's wearied. He's watching, and now he's wishing. He said, God, I know it's bad. I know you've said you're going to bring judgment, but if you would, in the middle of it, remember mercy. And God, would you just send a little reviving to your people in the midst of the years? I'm going to give you 3 things tonight real quick on some things to be reminded of while you're waiting on God to move. Sometimes the most difficult times of life are when we see situations that we have no control over. We are powerless to change them. And yet all the while we know that God has a plan and that God is working in situations. But the hard part is the waiting part. There's 3 things that will help you tonight when you find yourself waiting on God to move. Number 1, when you find yourself in that place, you're going to have to learn how to change your outlook. Habakkuk is down here in the among the fray. He says everything's bad. I'm looking around here, God's people's out of whack. I mean, the Chaldeans are down here. They're going to overrun us. And he said, man, I can't fix none of this. And God, I've been crying out to you. And why have you not answered? Can I say to you, there's times as a child of God, if you're not careful, the troubles of life, the problems of life will get you just like Habakkuk was. You'll get down there and you'll get overwhelmed. And in order to get help, you're going to have to learn how to change your outlook. He said, everything looks bad. Everything looks bleak. I don't know when it's going to be fixed. I don't know nothing about it. But he said, I do know there's a place I can go and elevate my outlook. He said, there's a place that I can get above the problems. There's a place I can get, hallelujah, to his name. There's a place I can get in the tower. And I promise you this, when you climb up in the tower, everything looks just a little bit different up there than it does down here. I'm glad there's a place we can go when the troubles of life overwhelm us. I'm glad we can ascend into the throne room of a holy God. Hallelujah to his name. You better learn how to change your outlook. Preacher, when you're down here, you see half of them pews empty that wasn't empty before COVID. And boy, you'll get down over that. But I promise you this, if you'll learn just to elevate your outlook a little bit better, don't get your eyes on the problem. Get your eyes on the horizon where our help comes from. Hallelujah. Our help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah to his name. Several years ago, I've been pastor now 29 years where I'm at. And by the grace of God, if I'm still living, I hope to make 30 pretty soon. But I was having one of them Saturdays that pastors have. Everything in the world had blown up. Everybody had a problem. I mean, I look over on this side, somebody's done gone crazy over here. Now, don't look at me like none of your people ever go crazy. I mean, they done gone stupid over here. You can't fix none of it. It wasn't major things, but it was a whole lot of little things. And I was overwhelmed that day. I was so just trivial thing, but yet it's like a snowball gathering steam. And that day I went out finally to my place of prayer. And I got out there and I just poured my heart out to God for about 30 minutes. I just wrung out. And after I got done praying, it's like God said, "You through now?" I said, "Yeah, I am, God. What are you going to do about all this?" He said, "This is what you should have done all along. You should have brought it all to me." I went back in the house that day and I wrote that little old song, "When troubles come against me, I feel so overwhelmed when it seems the more I'm trying that my troubles seem to swell. When I've reached the end of me and my faith is growing dim, I hear a still voice whisper, 'Just bring it all to him. I just bring it all to him.' When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to him." Boy, I'm glad that every now and then, that day I went to the place of prayer and God began to change my outlook. I promise you this, there's been a few times when I didn't see an answer and I'd go to the place of prayer and want to come back out. The birds were singing a little sweeter and the sun was shining a little brighter. And even though the problem was still there, there was a victory in my soul that God said he'd help me through it. Hallelujah to his name. If you're going to make it through these troubles we're in, you're going to have to learn to, you're going to have to climb up in the tower a little bit. You're going to have to elevate yourself and say, "God, help me cast my sight just a little bit higher. in this difficult day. You say, preacher, what else is it about this? You're going to have to learn to elevate your outlook, change your outlook. Number two, you can't get too discouraged when the answer is not imminent. Habakkuk said, I've prayed how long, Lord? How long? If I could talk to everybody individually in here tonight, there's people in here, no doubt you've been praying a long time for situations in your life. You may have been praying for a long time for a prodigal child. And boy, I'll tell you one thing right now. You say, but I'm up in the tower, but I don't see no movement off on the horizon. And boy, that's the hardest place to get to when you're praying for somebody and you can't see nothing happening. Ain't no movement that you can see. Oh, but friend, you don't know what may be on the other side of the ridge. Matter of fact, while you're looking at the horizon and you can't see nothing happening, on the other side of the hill, God may be marshaling the forces of heaven to bring help to you in your time of need. Amen. Oh, just keep praying. Just keep holding on to God's hand. And I promise you this, He's doing something that you can't see. Praise God. I heard preacher Brian McBride one day, he was preaching and he told this story. He said that he was helping ordain a young preacher. I believe it was in Indiana. And he said the pastor that was ordaining this young man was the young man's father. He's the pastor of the church. And previous to him, his grandfather had pastored the church. And he said we were there that day, and of course they were questioning the young man. And said before they went out into the ordination, said brother, the brother told him, said, now I want every one of you men of God, seasoned men of God that are here, to come around and give this young man one piece of advice about going out into the pastorate. And he said this man called on his father, which was the grandfather of this young man. And he said, I want him to come first. And he said that old preacher got up and slow in step, said he walked around, said he leaned over, and he looked at that young man, and this is what he said. Give God time to work. And said, that's all he said. He turned around. And I said, after he said that, nobody else didn't need to say nothing else. I wish somebody told me that when I first went into the ministry. Oh, how many times have we gotten weary and waiting and we didn't give God time to work and we try to fix it ourselves and we try to do something on our own. I'm here to tell you, praise God, God's train runs on right on time. It'll be on schedule. God's doing something you can't see, praise God. Hallelujah to His name. Just don't get discouraged if the answer's not imminent. I have a cousin. She is just a little bit younger than me. She's a first cousin to me. And I hadn't seen her in a long time. We grew up together, but our lives have not intersected much in our adult life. Her name is Sandra. And Sandra was a hard person. It was a type of person you never saw a smile on her face. It was almost like she lived in a gloom all the time. And even when I would see her, many times I'd speak to her, and even though I was her cousin and I knew she loved me, but just a gruff answer, just gruff, just hard. Now, don't get down on hard people too much, because many of them are hard because they've had it hard in life. And Sandra was like that. She's had a hard way in life. She's had a lot of setbacks. She's had a lot of things happen to her. She's just hard. And I went to a graveside service the first of the year. There was a man passed away, and some of our folks in the church were relatives, and they were having a graveside service, so I decided to go over there. And we were standing around that day waiting on the service to start, and this couple out of my church was standing there with me. And there was a lady standing on this side of me, and I really didn't see her good, and I didn't know who it was. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden the lady from my church, she looked at me, and she nodded her head and pointed to the lady standing next to me. And I looked, and I couldn't tell who it was. I didn't know if I knew her or not. And I looked back at her. I said, who is it? And she looked at me, and she pointed. She said, it's your cousin, Sandra. And I thought, I hadn't seen her in years. And I walked over to where she was standing there. I'm talking about this hard person. I'm talking about hard. And I looked at her. I said, Sandra, I didn't even know you. And it took her just a second to recognize me. She said, why, Leonard, she said, I didn't know you. And here's the next words that came out of her mouth. I'm talking about a long time now. She's been in this state. She said, Leonard, I got saved. I got saved. She started weeping. I mean, tears flowing. She said, Leonard, I got saved. And boy, we stood there and we wept. Me and her both were having a shouting time. And she looked at me. She said, if I'd have known it had been this good, I'd have got saved a long time ago. And boy, there's been plenty of times we could have given up and said God wasn't doing anything. But I'm here to tell you, praise God, you may not see it tonight. You may not even see it coming. But hallelujah, he's doing a work in a place you can't see tonight. Hallelujah to his name. Don't get discouraged if the answer's not imminent. I'm just like you. I want my answers right now. I want God to fix it right now. I want God to bring it to pass right now. But sometimes God makes us wait. Number three, you say, preacher, what else is it? You got to learn how to change your outlook. Climb up a little higher. Oh, Habakkuk looks now. He's in the tower. This is what I like about that. That not being imminent, he said, I'll stand upon my watch. But then he uses a terminology, he said, I'll set me in the tower. Habakkuk, understand, you can stand only so long before you get so weary you can't stand no more. But he said, when you get like that, just be determined and don't give up and sit down and get you a good seat and keep your eyes on the horizon. Hallelujah to his name. Number three, when you think about what Habakkuk said here, you need to change your outlook. Don't be discouraged if the answer is not imminent. And then number three, you need to leave an entrance for the purposes of God. Those men that would man the towers on the walled cities, they also had control of the gate. They could see if it was an advancing enemy, and they could warn everyone to prepare for battle. But they could also see if it was friendly forces, maybe bringing much-needed supplies and nourishments to them. And when they would see them coming, they'd say, open the gate! And in would come that they had needed, that would help sustain them, and they'd open the gate to let it in. Amen. But you see, there's times that God brings things to our gate that when we look at them on the surface, we say, ain't no way that could be God bringing something like that to my gate. God's purposes don't always come wrapped in clothing and packaging that we desire. Sometimes he brings things to our gate that there ain't no way we want to open the gate. No, God, let somebody else go through that. Let somebody else's family have that. God, I can't open the gate on that. I found myself in that place. God brought something to my gate, and I said, I can't, God. I can't. And for 2 years, I begged God to fix something I couldn't fix, change something I couldn't change. And for 2 years, I kept the gate closed. And I said, God, I can't let that in. I cannot let that in. And finally, one day, after being worn out, 2 years of traveling, preaching, many times a basket case in my mind while I was driving to the meeting, and somehow God would touch me when I'd get there and help me to get back home. For 2 years, I kept that gate closed. I said, no, I can't accept that, Lord. I can't accept that answer. And for 2 years, and finally one day I was so worn out, I went out to my place of prayer again. I said, God, I don't understand. I said, I've given you everything in my life. I'm going all over the country trying to help God's people, and I've been asking you for something good and God, that would be a blessing. I said, I'm not asking it selfishly. God, this is about people I love. And I said, God, I've been asking you. And I said, God, you ain't done nothing. And about that time, the Lord spoke to me, my heart, and he said, well, he said, you're wrong if you think I ain't done nothing. And in my pride and my arrogance, I said, oh, yeah, God, what have you done? I said, it ain't got better. It's got worse. And about that time, the Holy Ghost said, son, if you look over your shoulder in your mind's eye, the last 2 years of your life, the hardest days you've ever walked on this planet, it's been my grace that's carried you every step of the way. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. You're right. You're right. The devil would have killed me in this 2 years had it not been for your grace. Oh, and that day I went in and wrote that other little, I write songs about everything. I write funny songs, sad songs, in-between songs. I write them about everything. But that day, there are many days that I have prayed through my trials here, waiting for an answer, hoping through my tears. But in my disappointment, Lord, I could not see your face. I couldn't thank you for the answer, but Lord, I'll thank you for the grace. I'll thank you for the grace you give just to go another mile. I'll thank you for the strength I feel as I face this bitter trial. And though this valley seems so long that I'll never leave this place, when I can't thank you for the answer, Lord, I'll thank you for the grace. Aren't you glad today? It was in that moment, that I got victory. I said, open the gate, God. Open the gate. I got to the point Job got to when he said, open the gate. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even though it ain't what I want, I said, I'll trust him with my life. Hallelujah to his name. While you're waiting on God to move, learn to change outlook. Don't get discouraged and give up. Amen. If the answer's not imminent. And number three, leave an entrance for the purposes of God. Father, thank you for what you've done for us tonight. Thank you for how you've helped us. I pray, God, that you'd take this message to the hearts of those that need it the most. Lord, I thank you for the liberty you've given me tonight. Lord, just a blessing to be among people who love you. And Lord, thank you for the sweet Spirit of God. And I pray now, God, you have your will and way in the furtherance of the service. Lord, we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, Brother Dagenhart, you come tonight.